I'd just like to welcome everyone, all the new people this morning. We just thank you for coming. We hope you feel comfortable. We are people that just, we love God. We just love being with God, and so we welcome you, feel comfortable. We're here after the service if you want to ask some questions, but make yourselves comfortable. We're happy that you're with us, and we just appreciate that you'd really enjoy the service. This morning, God asked me, my name is Timothy. I've been saved for 21 years, and this morning, Pastor Cliff asked, would I share? And I said, yeah, you know, God had been speaking to me because God has made me a warrior. A warrior. You might not see all the scars. You can't see all the bruises. But I'm a warrior. I've been through. This morning, what I'm going to share with you is not just reading a book. Well, let's just read this pamphlet. It's real life experiences. I've been in a war, but in a different war. I've been in the war of God. And this morning, I've had to fight. I've had to fight, and it's not been easy. As we heard last week about suffering, why do we suffer, and in times of suffering? And this morning, God's given me a lot of word that how have I used this word? How have I used God's word to get through the situation? We live in a country where life is cheap. We get killed for nothing. You get killed for your phone. It's nothing. It's immaterial. Your life is nothing. So standing on God's word, being there, understanding God's word this morning, it's not just a book. It's real life. And I'm going to share this morning from real life testimonies, real life things where we've had to endure this. We've been in a pit. We've come out of pits. We've come out of wells. We've come through the battles. And this morning, as I began to share God's word, he said, tell the people, this is real. And what I share this morning is years of experience and how I stand this morning absolutely victorious. There's many areas of my life I've won that battle. And this morning I hope to encourage you that you too can have that victory. It's yours. You don't have to. I didn't have to earn it. That's the whole thing. I didn't have to earn it. And this morning as I lead you through, I'll show you how I walk in the victory. We stand in that victory every day. We face battles that surmountable, impossible. It's like, forget it. You're not going to even achieve it. But through God, we conquered that mountain. And we're still conquering mountains because as we grow, you think, gee, I've just got through that. Oh, yay. And then God throws an even bigger hurdle. Like Sharon, oh, I got through the worship. That's wonderful. Bob, I thought. And then this week he says, well, have a little bit more of a hurdle. So it's from faith to faith. One level of battle to a new. So as we step up to a new level in God, there comes a new battle. It's not all, that's why I think, well, it's not all smooth sailing. But by the power of God, I defeat the enemy. And I will keep on defeating him because of God in me. So this morning, the whole emphasis of the word of God was take up the sword of the Spirit. Take up the sword of the Spirit of God's word. And it's a mighty weapon. And God said, take up that sword. Because without the sword, which is God's word, I cannot even begin to defeat the enemy. Forget it. You're not going to do it. There's no way to defeat the enemy unless through God's word. So as I went through Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says here, sorry, I'm just going to go through. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand firm. Then put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and on your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. In addition to all of this, the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish the fiery flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So this morning, as we begin to take up that word, we're going to go on a long journey. So I hope you all got your backpackers club. got all your bags on, you got some water, because it's quite a long trip. Unfortunately, I have to take you all the way back to Old Testament, and then we're going to take a journey through the Old, and eventually a bit more, and then we're going to end up over here, right in the New Testament, and finally, the blood of Christ. So it's a long walk, but you look fit, so let's go for a walk. It is a long walk, but that's how it is. So there is a lot of scriptures, but if we didn't understand where we're at, we won't understand where we're going. And if we don't understand, where did I get this authority? Because people say, who said you in charge? Who put you there? Who said you're allowed to do that? Who gave you the permission to even think you could do that? That's where we need to be sure. This is mine. I stand on that word. And God gave me that authority. So that's why I exercise it. Because I understand I have that right. Devil, you push me. You watch out. Don't even say. Don't even push me. Don't even try, because you will get a slap. I'll slap you straight with the word of God. And that this morning is how it's going to happen. And we've learned. The devil comes. He pushes. I said, right, you're going to push with me. I'll get this word. I slap him straight back. I said, you push me, I'll slap you. And that's the fight. Because I went through trials. And through those trials, I took this word and I said, right, devil, mess with me, you'll mess with my God. My king is not in my authority. It's my understanding of what God has done. He paid that price, and I'm going to fight. And this morning, we stand in that victory. There's many battles. The middle of the night, no one's there. You've got no one. You're by yourself. You're in a crisis. What am I going to do? I take to this word, and I said, right, this word, because I'm born again, this word is for me. Middle of the night, I'll get up and I'll fight, and I win the battle. These battles I haven't won. But the devil knocks me down, and he looks and he laughs. He says, yeah. I said, wait. The Bible says, even though I fall once, I get up seven times stronger. I get up much stronger. I'm more wiser. I'm more astute. I'm aware. I said, you might get me there, but watch out, because when I get up, I'm not a nice person. So the devil gets it, because I'm not the type. I don't like being pushed around by the enemy. And especially when I see Christians being messed around, tormented, going through hard times, keep on going through stuff they shouldn't, that's when I get angry. And I said, no. And I stand on God's word, even on their behalf, and I say, enemy, you are not. You are not going to touch these people. And I can fight. And there's many fights I've had for people that are going through tremendously hard times. And God has heard the victory, and we've had the victory. I'm going off on a whole road here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. All right, sorry. In the beginning, what happened was the loss. What happened in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, God put them in the garden. He says, here's a garden. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is take care of the garden. Nurture the garden. Take care of the animals. You have all authority. It was life. That's like life. It was beautiful. And God would commune with them. Then Adam and Eve taking a bite of the apple. And then Adam saying, okay, I'll try it as well, of the tree of life. Next thing, here they are, no authority, no dominion, no rule. That's it. God says, out the garden. And there they stand, that they have a situation where God has said, off you go. You've got no authority. So now the whole thing is, the authority that God had originally given to us has gone. It's been lost. The enemy has taken it. That's it. So the whole challenge is now, we're sitting there, no authority, no way of dealing with things. Because of the sin, it says in the Bible, because of the sin of one man, Adam sinned. The entire creation has gone from sin to sin to sin. So there's been absolutely no way of getting out of that sin. We're stuck in that sin. But thank God, he began to orchestrate a new plan. God is an amazing, mighty God. He says, I am not going to leave them like this. I am not. I am God. I will not leave my people. I love them so much. I will not let them carry on this way. So as we begin the new road, in the beginning, what God said was a new road. What God wanted to do, his whole focus was, I have to save my people. So he now ordained a new priestly order, but it's not the same. It's not just walk in and, how are you, God? It wasn't the same as just walk in the garden. Oh, yeah, how are you, God? And God would commune. It was a whole new way that we had to approach God. We weren't allowed just to walk in. Like this morning, we've just walked in right into the very presence of God, the very throne of God. We're right where God is this morning. We didn't have to come through all protocol. So God's going to show us how he's restored us. This morning we just walked in and we start to worship God. But in the Old Testament, they weren't even allowed. No one was allowed in. It was only the priesthood that were allowed in. So you, me or you couldn't come in this morning and raise a hand, start speaking to God. It had to go to the priesthood, and then the priest would come to us. And some of us that have been in church a really, really long time will remember, you had to go to the high priest, and he had to say, and you had to tell him your sin, and you say, well, I'm really bad. But we didn't have that freedom. Now the freedom you experience, like, this is really good, but there's been a consequence to that. So as we read through, we as individuals were not allowed just to come and talk directly to God, even commune with God, even have communion, nothing. Because even commune with God, as it was in the Garden of Eden, God would only allow the priesthood to approach him in behalf of you and me this morning. And there had to be the sacrifice of animal. There had to be the shedding of animal and the blood of animals to even approach as a sin offering once a year. Once a year, we could only come to God and say, I'm really sorry. I've really got angry this week. Once a year. So you can imagine after a year, there's some big baggage of stuff that we're carrying. But what God was saying, it's very difficult now. It's not that easy. So the people in the Old Testament, it was very difficult. And so the whole point is that here is now the priest having to go before God, having to sacrifice. The priests now begin their ministry. God calls the priest and he says, right, this is the people I have consecrated. I've called them. They are special. Only they can come before me. So as the priest become to come before God, then God says to him, right, this is what I want from you. You alone, no one else can come into the presence of God. Only you. And as God begins, as the priest begin to come before God, and they come on behalf of the people, but still we had no authority. They couldn't deal with demons. They couldn't deal with problems. They couldn't deal with anything because the whole fact of that. As the priest began the ministry, let's carry on through an incredible journey, talking about from the law of God's word in the Old Testament to beginning of a faith in the New Testament. Now, God, what God preordained through Isaiah, God was talking tremendously, and he said, I'm going to give you a Savior once and for all, a Savior that will absolutely pay the ultimate, that this morning, even as we had remembrance of the soldiers, we have remembrance of Christ, who Isaiah spoke, said, he will come, he will pay a price. That price is going to be the ultimate price, that this morning that we can stand in that tremendous victory. The beginning of the new priesthood, the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the new priesthood, the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It's an amazing scripture. In Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, She was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, but thought, well, let me just divorce her because she shouldn't be with child. Then the angel of God appears to him and says, no, stop that. Wait. This child is given through God, through the Holy Spirit. This child is called Emmanuel. And the understanding of God, where does God, it's easy to say this morning, just to speak words, well, if I don't understand who started in the beginning, where the priestly order and where God is fitted in, the scripture is telling us this morning, it's giving us confirmation, Jesus was born. Jesus, the confirmation of the birth. And as Jesus was born, he was saying, this is a new beginning. And each scripture tells us of how God wants us and how we walk this road. Each step is a step to understanding our authority. The confirmation of the Son of Jesus Christ. Jesus started his ministry, the beginning of the priesthood in Matthew 1:18 and Luke chapter 1, verse 26. As we read here, that Joseph had absolutely, the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, the child of God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, is placed within Mary. When Mary gives birth to Jesus, what has happened now, the whole thing is that there's a brand new start, there's a brand new thing, that Jesus Christ is born, but he's born with a purpose. He knows that purpose. That purpose is, I'm going to put down my life. My whole life is going to be shared, that you this morning can walk in that victory, that you can have every bit of that victory this morning, but it's going to come at a price. The confirmation of the Son of Jesus Christ. Jesus was, as he was born, then Jesus growing up, at age of 30, Jesus was at the age now of ministry, and the Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the desert. Into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And who has been tested? Who's been through a hard time? Who's been tested by and tempted? Well, oh, I'll just go do this little thing. Oh, I'll just go do this. Every sin, every temptation, every hindrance, everything that's facing mankind today was Jesus had to face. God said, I'm going to put that on you because you as the high priest have to be strong. You have to endure all the things because how can you be the high priest? How could you even begin to understand the people? So Jesus was tested. He was pushed in every area, every sin, every temptation that's upon us today. He had to go through. And God said, I'm sending you into the desert 40 days, 40 nights. He fasted, prayed, and he went through and through the desert, he was tested, he was tempted, he was pushed, he was tested in every way. Everything that we could say, oh, well, God, you know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy. Look what I'm going through. You know how hard it is. But he says a high priest has already been through it. He knows, God knows every day, what am I going through? How am I fighting this? How am I handling this? What is going to happen? He knows I can take it to the high priest, to God, and God knows every day exactly where I'm at. And because he's been tested, he's been pushed, he's been provoked in every area, but he hasn't failed. He failed in not one thing, not one letter did he fail. He was strong. And he says, if I can do it, he proved, I can do it. I am the Son of God. I am Emmanuel. I can do all of it. Nothing can push me down. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, said, I'm the victor. I've conquered. I've defeated this. Nothing, not one area did I fail in. So this morning, I have inspiration. Well, God, Jesus has already accomplished this. But it wasn't that easy because we're still living under the law, under the Old Testament. There was no way. There's no way, no matter how hard. Who's tried to fast or to diet? Oh, well, next week I'm starting my diet. I'll lose a kg or two. And then what happens? The Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday? How many cream cakes, donuts? It's just like impossible. You end up eating everything. You empty the fridge. and you're looking like this by the end of the, and then you'd start your, oh, well, I'll start my diet. 3 days later, you're like, oh, I'm starving. And how many times when people say, well, don't do that, our flesh just says, I've got to just go that way, because our flesh is our flesh. It's terrible. And the problem with the law was said, don't do that. Stop that. Don't do this sin. No, I don't want to. And the problem was our nature just said, ooh, let me go that road. And we always ended up going a way we didn't want to. And we had no authority to stop it. It was like, oh. So, and people were getting despondent. People thought, well, it's too hard to serve God because I always fall. I always slip. I always do the wrong thing. It's just so difficult. The law was impossible. And this is where the new word of God is, where Jesus is going to bring in a new thing where it is possible. It's absolutely possible. This morning, I'm having the victories because of the life I have in Christ, not because of the law and rules and conditions. As we go through, as Jesus is tempted, he's tested. So the whole thing is Jesus now coming and he's saying, right, Jesus is beginning his ministry. And as the ministry of Christ is going through, that just everyone's put their hope. Our Savior, he's mighty. People are getting healed. People are getting set free. People are liberated. Hallelujah. They're excited. This is our leader. This is our king. Because he's in the natural. Yes, they're excited. They're ecstatic. This is God. We are free. He's going to be our king. No one else. They said, this is the king. And they put all their hope, their expectation, because they saw, here's the person we want to follow. He's strong. He's secure. He's stable. He heals. People are miraculously healed. Nothing's too difficult. The waves, he tells them, be quiet. You stop. And they're silent. These guys have seen, wow, this guy means business and nothing is stronger. I know my security could be in him. Then the next heartbreak is, Jesus says to the disciples, well, you know what? I'm going to be crucified. The whole world thrown upside down. All their hope deferred. Oh, Lord, I was banking. You were going to take on the world. You were going to defeat. You, my hero. This morning, my hero is going to die. Their whole expectation, their whole hope, and everything was in him. And suddenly, he says, I'm going to die. I have to die. I have to be crucified, because if I'm not, you this morning won't gain. And the disciples were just so upset, because their whole world had just been turned upside down, because they didn't understand the full plan of what Jesus was going to do. The most critical point, the cross. Jesus says, I need to go on that cross. In himself, he said, I'm willing to lay my life down this morning that my people today would be able to walk free. They'd be able to get past their addictions, past their habits, past their bondages. They would be able to get free. They would not be held. He was so perplexed that people were in such hardship and bondage and terrible turmoil. He was just so, he said, no, this is not good. So as we get to the point of Jesus, the high priest is on the cross, and the disciples are looking upon and thinking, it's just gone. That's it. We left high and dry. That's the end of the road for us. He's going, there he is on the cross. They've crucified him. They've won. The cross has such significance this morning. It's the whole reason of salvation. But on the cross, Jesus Christ cries out, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani. He's saying, well, God, God, why have you forsaken me? So now they're even thinking, well, even God's forsaken Jesus. He set him off with you. But it was the point that Jesus said, I'm taking the sin of me and everyone today. I'm taking it upon me. I will suffer for you. I will take that sin once and for all. For everyone this morning, I will take it upon me. that you can live in freedom. I will pay the ultimate. I will lay my life down that you can walk in the freedom this morning, that you don't have to be persecuted, that you don't have to be in turmoil, that you don't have to face and be led away by addiction, by alcoholism, and by all the things that come upon. He says, I'm going to pay that price that my people will walk free. They will walk in the victory. They will not be defeated. They will not suffer because I'm going to pay that price. I'm willing to lay it down. I'm going to suffer today. And when he took on, when God looked at Jesus, the entire sin of you and me today was laid on him. And he says, I'm willing. I want to get in. I want this. I want my people to be free. And as God, as he died, the greatest victory. The devil sat there laughing like he does at us sometimes. Oh, look at you. You trusted God. Now you're worse off. You're even more in a situation. You said, let's trust God in an even worse situation. And the devil began to laugh. Look, we've won. Look at him. Son of God, he's defeated now. Look at him on the cross. Huh. God had another plan. The Sunday morning, earlier morning, Jesus Christ, the devil was heard. There's a tremendous thunder. There's a mighty earthquake. The earth couldn't even hold. The mightiness of the earth is opening up. And God said, watch now. Here comes my son, who I have the authority to raise up. I have the authority to raise to life today. And today, on the Sunday, the resurrection, Christ came out that tomb. The devil quivered. He said, I didn't see that coming. I didn't even know. And God said, devil, go away. Go ahead, make my day. I'm going to defeat. Now it's time. Now it's time for business. Because this word, I'm going to defeat you with this very word. And my people, he didn't see. He thought, I just got this one little person, Jesus. Let me get rid of him. He's nothing. But he didn't realize 20, 30 million Christians today. He's got a headache. Satan's got a terrible headache. There's 30 million Christians running around with Jesus and authority. The devil says, I had wished I had seen that because I would never have killed Christ Jesus because I didn't realize by him laying down his life that every one of the Christians would have authority, that would have that same power to defeat him. And he's sitting, he says, I've really messed up. The devil thinks, now I've really got a headache. And this morning, Christ Jesus has risen. He's alive. He's active. He's powerful. But the thing is, it's no good to me if Christ doesn't live in me. It's like, if he's not in me, he has no part of me. And that's why Christ said, unless we're born again. Born again? I'm too old now to be born again. You know, like, hello, you know, go back to being a baby. No. He says, unless I ask him, Lord, come into my life. I want this victory this morning. I want to walk in victory. I'm tired of being under the influence of stuff. I'm tired of alcohol. I'm tired of drugs. I'm sick of this bondage. Enough of it, Lord. I've had enough. And God, by inviting him in, the fullness of God's power, that victory at cross, that victory at Calvary becomes mine. And that's where I had tremendous challenges in my life. And what happened was, by the mightiness of God, when he came in, I became all because of him. And it was so lovely. I walk along and the devil pushes. Say, hey, watch it, Doki. You don't know who my dad is. You don't want to mess with him. You mess with him. And God would slap the devil. Good times for me. And the devil would say, look, I used to drink tremendously. I used to be an alcoholic, drink all the time. I lost so many jobs. And in one day, I promised God. I said, God, I promise you, and I'll keep to my promise. And 21 years now, I've kept to my promise with God. Through tough, really tough, tough times, I said, I promise. I said, you help me because your word says you will deliver me. I trust your word. You said in this word that you will do it. I went to church on the Sunday morning, but the Sunday night, after 13 years of drinking and about 12 years of smoking, I didn't smoke ever again. I've never touched, don't even bother, have no need of it. But because it's the word of God, it wasn't because, look at me, and I'm strong, and I've been brought up in a really etiquette family, and I've got really good upbringing. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with that Jesus, the victor, is in me. Him in me. Oh, that was so good. And I felt, wow, first one to me. Devil, move off. And my family, you know, I can't stand smoking. But anyone that smokes or drinks this morning, I have an understanding and respect. And I'm not condemning. It's never condemning. But it's through the love of Christ, I want to see you free. I want to see you be able to walk and say, huh, you thought, devil, you thought you could get me through this addiction. Move off, because Christ is in me. And it's an incredible, incredible story. This morning, as I go through to another life story, you know, it's easy to talk about things, but unless you've gone through it, you know, say somebody, but you haven't even been through it. How can you even understand me? It's like me this morning, like, and God would say, but Jesus went through it. So I can go to my high priest and say, Lord, I'm going through this terribly hard time. I'm so frustrated with it. And he says, I know. What's new? Nothing's new. But let me guide you through the high priest. Let me help you through it. I went through a time in my life where for 3 years, I would sleep 3 hours a day. That's all I could sleep. I couldn't sleep. I went through a tremendously hard time. It was very difficult. And all I had, I didn't have people, there's no help. The pastors would pray, but I still had that horrible situation. I was still having to deal with it. I'm the one that's got to live with me. I wish I could let me go, but I still had to live with me. Wherever I went, me came with me. I said, oh, go away. You know, you're trying to say, well, I'm sick of me. Off you go. But it's not that easy. And I thought, oh, I wish I didn't have to take me and all of me with me, because I'm tired of half of me. So, oh, it was like, oh, and you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, welcome, oh, hello me. And I was so sick of being going through this, and I was beyond myself with no sleep for nearly 3 years. And a pastor prayed, and then one day the pastor said, am I praying? I thought, oh, that's great. Thanks, you know. He says, no, what are you doing about it? What do you mean, what am I doing about it? You're the pastor, not me, you. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? He says, what scriptures have you read? Nothing. He says, well, that's your problem. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to fight this? I thought, yeah, what a cheek. You know, he's there all day. He's the pastor. He's got the time. He's got time to pray. I've got to work and not sleep and do all this. And I'm into just because I'm going to go and deal with it. But it was the greatest lesson of my life, because I knew that's when, as a warrior, I began to fight and say, hey. And I began to look through God's word, study. Okay, it says, Proverbs 3:23, I shall lie down and my sleep shall be sweet. Whoa. And I'm going to bed. I wake up at 2 and I'm not sleeping. And I read the scripture in my mind, and I read it in my mind like counting sheep. I was counting scriptures. But I tell you what, I don't have that sleep. I sleep beautifully. I sleep like, even if a tornado went off, it would probably take me away. But because I had to fight with it, I had to take that word and say, all right, devil, I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of being messed around by you. Push me. And I take the word of God. And I won. And I won. Oh, lovely. I sleep. So that one's over. But still, there's, who knows, we carry more than one issue sometimes. We carry a whole bag of them sometimes. And I used to work, another testimony, I used to work in the most dangerous areas. Your life would just, they kill you for no reason. I worked in rural area, and it was very hostile. I worked in Africa in townships, and at that time, they were killing people. They would kill you for no reason. I worked in the most hostile situation, but I was putting electricity in the houses. But it was every day, you took your life in your hands going there. You would see people killed. They were killing people in the townships where you were working. And it wasn't a case of, well, I'm going. It's, okay, Lord, how am I going to deal with this? Because this is my livelihood. And every day I had to take Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Nothing you have, devil, will defeat me. And every day I went into that township. We were hijacked. We've been held up with guns. I've been held up with knives. I've been through, but you know what? I'm here today. Because the enemy could not, because this word, just as spokenness, I had the sword of the Spirit. Devil, you're not going to push me around here. I'm going to work. And we've had to trust it. It's like real. It's absolutely, I have to trust God. I have to. This is my life here. If I don't trust God, I'm not going to be here. And by trusting God, taking His word and saying, right, Lord, I'm going to fight. And this morning, the whole thing is that God has given you the authority. And many of you are thinking, I'm so tired of going around this silly situation. I'm so tired of going around the mountain. I've got my own footpath here now. It goes around like this. Oh, watch that rock there. Oh, miss this boulder there. You've gone around the mountain so many times. You're thinking, when is God ever going to do this? When is God going to help me? I've been asking Him for 20 years, when is He going to do it? And God's sitting there saying, when are you going to stand up and smack the devil? And you're thinking, well, what are you waiting for? It's like you're sitting waiting for God and God's sitting waiting for you. And no one's getting anywhere. And you're thinking, oh, and everyone around you is sitting in, and the whole world's in turmoil. And he's saying, God, look at what's going on. Can you not see all the pain? Can you not see all the situations, all the war, all the stuff that's going on? God says, yeah, I can see it, but I can't do it because I gave you the authority. What are you doing about it? Because I gave you the authority. And this morning, that authority is with us. It's not. That's why you're thinking, well, God, why is the world a mess? And God's saying, why aren't you praying? Why aren't you taking authority? But it's your job, God, because you're God. No, but I gave you the authority. Where do you give me the authority? Through my son, Jesus. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? But that's hard work now, God. Now, you know, I've got to work, and I'm meant to do. He says, well, welcome to my world. It's not that easy, is it? But the price is paid. And this morning, it's an incredible how we've, and impossible things. To move to this country, impossible. The amount that had to happen, impossible. But with God, not even a problem. It's like, what's the problem? But it's this morning, I encourage you. If Jesus is in your heart, you have that authority. And I kept some scripture, there's a Bible website. Because how I go on to the scripture. How do I get all the scripture? Like I'm going through, let's say I'm going through alcohol or addiction. I go into and I look up all the scriptures that deal with it. That's how I fight. Because as I go into the word, I find, what does this word say? And where's my victory? Where is my victory this morning in this word? What scriptures do I need to fight? You know what? If I go and say to the devil, oh, get away. He says, shut up. Who are you? Who said that? He said, what do you think you're doing? What are you? But when I take the word of God and I say, devil, the Bible says, oh, then the devil's shaking. Oh, okay, I'll listen. Just move off. Get off. The word of God says, who gave you? Jesus Christ gave me all authority. As the Son of God, He gave me that authority this morning. So move off. Get off. And when I see people on the street and when I go and pray for people and they are in bondage, I have that authority. I set get set free, and they have the liberty to come to Christ until they're strong. Sometimes we as Christians live on milk, and we're always on milk. But God puts us, why did He put me in the deep end? Why did you give me such a hard situation? Why such a hard life? Isn't it easier? But God says, I need to mold you to be a warrior, strong, firm, strong in every area. But unless you go through some of these sufferings, you suffer and you think, well, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm so tired of all suffering. And God says, I'm so tired that you're not taking my word up. And as you begin to take God's word, He honors it. And He says, oh, she prayed. Quick. And they go and they, get out, devil. Get out of her place. Get out of her life. You don't mess with her. You heard what she just said. Because we appropriate the word of God. And when Jesus said, in a time of tremendous testing, the devil says, "Why, come and I'll do." Jesus said, "Get away from me." The word of God said. It's that exact example this morning. And I really encourage you, might think, well, you don't know. I've been through years and years. Now I've got to try and start, as you begin to trust God's word, put it up. Make it known. Each day, your mind, I fix my mind, for I have the mind of Christ. I therefore share in his thoughts. These scriptures are permeated in my mind, not just because of reading some word, but because I've had to fight. I've had to say, right, devil, I'm fighting, and mine is the victory. This morning, I've asked two people also to share of how it's easy to say, well, that's good for you. You've got it on track. But what about us poor guys? So I've asked another two people to give a testimony of how they've had to stand on God's word and how he heard them. And one of my greatest things in life, I said, God, I want you to hear you. I want you, sorry, to hear you, hear me. I want to be me. I want to know that you're hearing me. This is me here. I'm an individual. I want to know that you're hearing me for me. It's nice when someone prays corporately, but and God answers, wow. But God, I want to know you for me. I want to experience the victory for me. I want to eat because of your word, because of what you're doing in me. I want this. I want to know you for me individually. And you know what God said? That's just what I want. I want you to know individually my victory for you. I want you to know that they're loved. I want to know that I'm there with you. I'm all the way. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Because he said, I'm right there. And when you face the defeat, he says, come. Help you up. Let's go again. Dust off. Come on. Get up. Let's go. Not like moaning, crying. Get up. Let's go again. On we go. And that's what God wants. And he's there individually, each and every one of us. And I promise you, because for 21 years, he's been by my side. When everything, in one point in my life, when everyone forsook me, I was all on my own, no one in the world. I said to him, Father, you're my dad. I promise you, I'll hold on. And I held on. And I held on. And I said, I don't care, even if I hold on by your big toe, as long as I've got a hold of you. And whoa, you know, God brought me through. And this morning I stand in victory and I'm just saying, you have the victory this morning. So I'm going to ask Colin to come up and then she can say. And then after that, Colin, will you share? It's people that have really faced this fight and come and share. And then this is my wife, Corin. She's been married to me, so she's had to fight some battles. I think she said, oh, Lord, if I just married someone else, it would have been so much easier. But he's just made me go through all these fights, all these battles. Oh, she thinks like some days, she's got the backpackers club, she's got all this stuff. He says, well, look at all the equipment here, because she's had to fight as well. All right, do you want to share?
Hello, everyone. There's been many examples in my life where I've really had to stand on the word of God. For my own mental and emotional health as well, which has suffered in the past. And I just want to thank God that for over a year now, I've not been on tranquilizers or antidepressants. I was on them for 3.5 years. And I just want to thank God for that, because he truly is the source of my emotional strength. And God, you know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I will not be in want. Because why? Because you, Lord, are my shepherd. He leads me beside still, quiet, and peaceful waters. He restores my soul. And your soul, your mind, sometimes will go through anxiety and terrible things. But God, you restore my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And there's been others as well, many other scriptures that God has helped me with regarding mental strength. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, a sound, well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. When my mind wants to run away with thoughts and be anxious, no, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. God will give you the desires of your heart. So, talking about petitions and certain things that are needed for our home and in life, sometimes you do have things that you need. We all need things, and God says, I know that you need them. Seek first my kingdom and all my righteousness, God says. And I will give you the desires of your heart, because I know that you need these things. All these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about these things. But we took God at his word, as we have to. And so, can you just hold them, because they've rolled themselves up. So these are the petitions that we've made. We've done others over the years. Now, Jessica and Bradley have done these. They're very artistic. They're a bit scrubbled because they're on the fridge, because God says, Habakkuk 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain. Make it very plain what you need, so that a herald may run with it. So you'll have some other translations that will say other things, so that everybody who passes by can see. So every time we pass by, we say, oh, yes, oh, we've already got that. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, that's still coming, but thank you, Lord, for that. So that's how you do a petition. You write it down, even if you're not as artistic as Jessica and Bradley are. Jessica, then you'll just do that, because that's something that you can hold on to, something that you can look and see. God even says, write it down, make it plain. And there was another thing, we needed to move out of our house into a bigger house, and we thought we'd go into a four-bedroom, but then God says, enlarge the borders. Where's that scripture? Isaiah 54. Enlarge your borders, stretch the cords of your tent. In other words, think bigger. You're going to go into a bigger house. It's not going to be a four-bedroom. You need a bigger house than that. I said, okay, so I wrote it down. I will enlarge the borders of my tent. I wrote it down. I stuck it up somewhere. And within a few months, we had the miraculous move of this house. It's a six-bedroom house, which we are going to be needing. But God says, and God will drop that word in your heart, and you'll find confirmation of that. But God will speak into your heart. You say, okay, I'm going to run with this, because it's good. It's not from the devil. It must be from God. Yeah, why not? Put it on. Write it down. Stick it up somewhere. And God will give you the desires of your heart, because he's put that desire there in the first place. And he will grant you that desire. Amen.
Thanks. Yeah, Colin will do the rest. I asked Colin as well, because, you know, Colin's really, he's really grown and come through. He's really grown, and he's growing so much in God, and he's just so hungry for God, but he's also had to fight, you know, and he's had some real battles, and he's just going to share this morning. I said to him, funny last night, he said, ooh, I said, yeah, some pressure there you are.
Thanks, Tim. The Lord bless you all. I've got three things to share briefly. Tim's given me 3 or 4 minutes, so the miracle's going to be getting it done that quick. When you've got a sort of half-empty heart, it's easy. But when your heart's full and overflowing, it's a little bit more difficult. But just very briefly, when I was a young Christian, I went to a Salvation Army hostel with the brother that brought me to Christ. And we stayed awake all night talking. It was actually a spiritual sword fight between my friend Roger and this Sally Army guy. And I was working, obviously, the following day, so we've been up all night. I'm a young Christian, just learning about the goodness of God, and we're going back to, like, on the bus, getting back to where I needed to be at the hospital, and I said, Lord, there's only one way I'm really going to be able to get through this day. I need a promise, and I need something that's going to keep me on my feet. And while I was on the bus just meditating, the Lord said to me, John 7, verse 38, I believe it is. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And I was really shattered. I got to work, got on the ward, and I was really tired. But I was meditating upon that verse of scripture. And by lunchtime, the ward sister, Debbie, she wondered what I was on. I was walking on sunshine, actually. It was wonderful. Because I took God at his word. I needed something from him, and he provided when I needed it. Another time, it was a Saturday evening. I got a phone call around about 9 or 10 o'clock, terrified the living daylights out of me. I'm a craven coward. I really am. And it was a threatening phone call, and this guy on the other end of the phone was saying all manner of things that he was going to do to me. I think I know who it was as well, some lad that stayed with us, and it went a bit pear-shaped. But in any way, the arm of the flesh said, get in touch with the police straight away. But the Lord stopped me. He said, you get in touch with me first. So in any way, I got down in my front room and I just prayed and asked the Lord to be with me. And anyway, then I prayed, I phoned a pastor of my church, Pastor O'Neill, lovely man of God. And he said, Colin, read Psalm 91. So I read Psalm 91, which is a beautiful psalm. And I went to bed that night with two things going on. My flesh and my heart, they failed me. Because I had all these pictures in my mind, you know, that God was, this guy was going to come bursting through the door and sort me out. That was my flesh. But in my heart, I had the peace of God. Because it says, my flesh and my heart, they fail me, but God is the strength of my life. And so I got through the night anyway, went to church on the Sunday, and Pastor O'Neill said, give a testimony. So I shared briefly what had happened. After the meeting, I was talking, I believe, to my children about when Daniel was in the lion's den. And I became aware that that voice that spoke to me on the phone on the Saturday night was like a lion roaring at me. And I just said to the Lord on that Sunday afternoon, Lord, shut the mouth of the lion. And anyway, I was expecting another call, and sure enough, it came round about the same time on Sunday evening, but nobody said anything. And obviously put the phone down, and the old flesh again, oh, this is another tactic they're playing now. And God said, what did you ask me to do, son? I said, shut the mouth of the lion, Lord. And that's exactly what he done. This is the biggie now. It's probably going to take maybe 5 or 6 minutes altogether. Is that all right, Tim? But going back to, I've been a Christian for 37 years. And when I first became a Christian, I was a real mess. I really, really was. Only God knows the ins and outs of that one. But he'd already counted the cost. And he already knew that when he began a good work in my life, he was going to carry it through to completion until the day of Christ. And anyway, that was 23 then. When I was 40, I was 40. I had a breakdown, a big one. And my brother Paul sitting over there, bless him, he looked after me. I was admitted, I wasn't sectioned, but I was in hospital for 14 weeks altogether, and it was divided into two halves, almost equal. And on the first 7 weeks of that admission, I was on a downward spiral. I was really out of it. I really was. And Brother Paul used to come in nearly every day, take me out, look after me. I thank God so much for his love and his care. But in any way, on the 7th of November, that was the day that all the wheels fell off. That was the day that I couldn't have gone any lower without losing my life. Because 3 or 4 times during that day, I've never ever contemplated suicide. It's not an option. Life is too precious. But on that day, 3 or 4 times, it came like waves, and the enemy tried to compel me to throw myself out the top window. And I was absolutely petrified. I really was. I got through the day, didn't really sleep very much. But that day, something died, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Maybe the negative things that had been put into me as a child that made me feel so worthless and useless all rose up against me on that day to try and take my life, but I'm here because of God's great mercy and love. Now, what happened? I went to bed in the early hours of that morning. And I was thinking, oh no. I honestly felt that I only had a little bit of strength left, and it was only a matter of time before I gave in. And I went to bed for a couple of hours on that night, and when I woke up, I was expecting another wave of these attacks to come, and I was terrified. My tongue had cleaved to the roof of my mouth from fear, you know. But that attack never came anymore. And Brother Paul, bless him, he came in that day to take me out as normal. And as the day was progressing, I was feeling something inside. Paul took me back to Billingham and he asked me to pay a couple of checks into the bank for him, if you remember that. I went and had my hair cut, and that was the day that I began to recover. You know, it was absolutely wonderful. Now, that was 20 years ago, cutting a really, really long story short. The 20 years between then and now have been a little bit like the wilderness wanderings. I've always followed the Lord. I've always been a part of the fellowship, but I was drifting badly. I was really being tossed. You wouldn't have known it because I can put a good smile on, but God knew it. And I really got myself into bondage. You know, things were happening. And then at the beginning of this year, got to bring it up to date, obviously. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He never made me a quitter. He made me a plodder on her. And if the going was getting tough, if I had to crawl, I'd crawl. If I had to plod through the mire, I'd plod through the mire. But quitting isn't my game. It is not my game. And I've got to tell you that as I stand here before you today, I'm standing here complete in Christ. I was on medication. I still am on a little bit. I was on lithium for 20 years. And because of kidney... Am I all right, Tim? Sorry, I'm going on a bit more. I was on lithium for 20 years, and I didn't know until I started coming off of it, because my kidneys were getting damaged, how much it had been kind of holding me back. It was keeping me steady, which, by the grace of God, I needed. But I believe that God allowed me to be held back, because I'm always trying to run on in front, you know, like a little kiddie that wants to get out there instead of walking by my Father's side. But now, I really believe with all of my heart that my hour has come. And this year, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, Brother Don came back from Israel, and he gave me a bookmark about the blood moons, which I've got there. I listened to this message from the man on the website, and it scared the living daylights out of me, and it put the fear of God into me. And do you know what God spoke to me through that message? He said, "Son, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." I heard him speak clearly to me. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of that. I'm getting doubly blessed because for the last 3 weeks, with my grandchildren and myself, we've been celebrating Shabbat. We've been having an absolutely wonderful time, and God has been really blessing us. And then a couple of weeks ago, on the Friday, I was working in the tomato factory, listening to me worship and me lovely music, and God spoke into my heart. I've had me 60 years, and 60 or 6 represents man's toil upon the earth. It was God's time for creating the heavens and the earth, and then he rested. And God spoke into my heart on the Friday a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Son, you're just entering into your Sabbath rest." And I can tell you, if God has said that to me, and as I'm standing here before you today, that is a word from God. I'll get more done in this next 10 years than I've got done in the first 60, because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Blessed be his lovely name.
I especially wanted people, because sometimes it has been that we see the pastor and he always seems strong. He always seems he's got it together. And we think, well, we don't even fit into that jigsaw. But this morning, it's not the jigsaw. He's got the same jigsaw. He's got the same pieces. That one piece, Jesus Christ. That's the only difference between the pastor living, and he's got life together. He's doing so well. It's just that he's understood and taken that word and said, "It's mine today." And we've had to, it's everyday normal people, fighting and taking the word of God. This morning, I just want to encourage you, the victory is there, and it is yours. You don't have to earn it. I don't have to go down and do a whole lot of things to earn it. I don't have to earn anything. I don't have to do nothing. All I had to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to help me. You take control. You are strong enough." And I promise you, the moment, the very hour, the very day I ask God, my life's totally... People look at me and they say, "I can't believe... No, impossible. You couldn't have come through that. There's no way." When people... really different people come and they look and said, "I can't see that. If you came and hugged me, I'll push you away. Don't even hug me. I hated to be hugged. I went through such terrible things. But you know what? Now, I'll give someone a hug." And you know, to you it might look, well, that's normal, but it wasn't. And the lifestyle of where I've come from. But you know what God says? He brought me through much this morning that I can understand much. I don't stand here boasting, look at me and what I've come through. I look and see, how can I help your people, Lord? How can I help these precious people, precious, precious people, to get free this morning? And that's my heart this morning, that you would walk in freedom, that you would experience God's freedom. And there might be those this morning that say, well, I've never known, I've never accepted Christ. How am I meant to accept Christ? Or I've had a life and it's been quite good. Why do I need Christ? Everything's going well. I've got everything I want. Why do I need this Christ? I don't have these problems. Everything's good. But God says, not about you this morning. It's about what I have for you. And there is men and women, mighty men in natural, that God wants to turn to make leaders of leaders, men that will lead thousands of leaders. So this morning, it doesn't excommunicate people that are doing very well and very strong and haven't gone through any problems. You think, well, I'm going well, but God's speaking to those. We call them men of peace because God wants you to be much, much more than what you are right now. And so this morning, I'd just like us to bow, and I just want to ask anyone, if you want to receive Christ, you want Christ to say, Lord, come in, take control, obliterate all these things, help me to walk in this freedom, in this victory this morning. I just ask you, Lord, that as each one this morning just contemplates, Lord, I want you. I want to let you come in. I want you to help me. I want to get through and face a victorious life. I just ask you this morning, if you want to receive Christ, the victor, the almighty one, to help you, I just ask you as well, as we've got our eyes closed, just to raise your hand. I will pray for you. We will not embarrass you, but we'll allow God to touch your life this morning. So if anyone would really wants, say, Lord, I want you. I want to try. At least want to try. I just ask you just to raise your hand quietly, and then I'll just give you a moment. God really wants to touch you. He really wants to work. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for the one person that's one person, Lord, is mighty, Lord, that you will influence his life, Lord, that you will touch his life right now, Lord, that he will walk in that victory, Lord, that you will show yourself strong on his behalf. And I thank you this morning for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'm just asking those that believe in Christ, that have accepted Christ this morning, and you're just so tired of going through hardship. You're just so tired that sometimes you need a helping hand to get you on the road. You just, oh, I wish someone would just pray for me. I just wish I could just get a little bit of help to get me on the road. It's not about who we are. I've stood in front of the altar crying for hours. I've laid on the floor shaking. I've laid on the floor screaming out, being delivered of horrible things. It's not about that this morning. And I was worried, what are people going to look at me? Afterwards, I thought they were more happy that I'd gone and been prayed for than ever sat in my seat. This morning, it's not about anything. It's about seeing you free. If this morning you want prayer, say, Lord, I want to experience this victory. I want to walk in this. I want the strength again to get up. I don't feel I'm strong anymore. I need that strength. You can come forward. I'll pray. I will pray, and God will touch your life. God will influence your life. He will fill you with the fullness of the Holy Spirit this morning. So if you want prayer, come forward. I will pray for you. I will ask. God will honor, and God will set you free this morning. Sharon, if you just come forward and lead again. Yeah, just a soft song. Those this morning, if anyone would like to come forward for prayer, as we begin to just worship softly, come forward. I know God will help. God will do it. And God will help you this morning.